Good afternoon.
God is good?
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Amen. And I welcome all of you to this hour of worship, and especially for those who came to celebrate Ellen's dedication. So welcome. Good to see all of you. And I haven't met, but I've been not regular here. So that's good to see you. And Mr. Gray, come in. Good to see you. Come on in.
Thank you.
Alright. So, from today and for the next few weeks, we will go over the stewardship. How can we become better stewards for the kingdom of God? And the topics that we selected are here. Today, we'll talk about the truth about stewardship. And next Sunday, you know, giving. Treasuring Christ, the danger of treasuring the world, secret to contentment, and generosity, and the gospel. And the pastor here and I are going to Orton, but since he is in hospital, Brent will set up, and I'm so thankful that he's here. So, I don't think he can come back, right? Pastor Neil, he can come back until the future of this series. I understand that bypass surgery, open heart, and he will stay in the hospital for about 7 days and recovery for about another month or two, about 2 months. So I don't expect him to come back, but we'll continue. So please continue to pray for him for the successful surgery and the speedy recovery so he can actually come back quicker than he said, right? Today we are introductory talk about the stewardship. So after today's service, I want you to remember two things. One, we are the stewards. We are stewards. Two, that I will explain about what are involved in the stewardship. So we remember those things. We are stewards. And what are we supposed to do, right? So, you and I are of course, not the owner or the master. So let's go back to the sound reading here. Can you go back? Yeah. So what are people? What is people here? The heavens are what? Yours. And yours also the earth. And what? You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south. They were in harmony, sing for joy as what? Your name. So what? Sure here. In this short word, short verse, yours are the society, right? So who created this whole thing? This world. Not just the world, but you and I. So he is the master. He is more than he owns everything that we see here. So it's not ours, but it's his or yours. And I don't know how many of you are paying attention to the little quote on top of the program of bulletin. Emily is speaking all those quotes ready to the message. And most of the time I don't use them in my sermon, but what he did today was pretty significant. And if I can bring your attention to that top of the page, the second page inside, the fourth, top of the program. It's all about the stewardship here. And when we together? Okay. There is no portion of our time that is our time. And the rest, God. There is no portion of our money that is our money. And the rest, God's money. It is all His. He made it all, gives it all, and He has simply trusted it to us for His service. You got it? That's what it is all about stewardship. There's nothing you can claim that is yours. And now I also into the dictionary, the definition of steward, or stewardship. And therefore, actually, A first definition is a person who looks after the passengers on a ship, aircraft, or train and brings them meals. That's not what I'm talking about. Two, an official appointed to supervise arrangements or keep orders at a large public event, for example, a sporting event. That's not what I'm talking about. Definition, a person employed to manage another's property, especially a large house or asset. This is what I'm talking about. This is the definition of steward that I'm trying to explain to you. So, in other words, steward is what? Manager, right? Manager of house they manage everything. So, I was looking at what should be the best example of a steward or manager, if you can think of somebody. It's Joseph in the Old Testament, right? What happened to him? He was sold to Egypt, and he was in the house of Potiphar, who is part of the royal service. And this Genesis 39 says, the Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge, listen to it. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. So, that is the concept of being a steward. You are a steward. That means God gave you everything that He owns for you to manage. But the thing is, you leave the position, what will happen? There is nothing you can take with you. Nada. Even a penny. Right? So you have all the power that you can manage. And Pastor House was pretty large, and he had all the power to do this and that. But when he left, I guess unfortunately he went to jail from there, but he was not able to clean anything. That is the job of a steward. So I'm a steward. Bring the image of Joseph. So to give one more example, when I was in the military, I mean, as a chaplain, I was to be very supportive. I have large office and my sister has his office. And sometimes, I mean, most of the time they drive me home with a nice vehicle that can go anywhere, ditches and mountains. But at the last three stations, I didn't have to use Humvee, but they gave me a nice van. Aside from me. And a nice office with the counseling room, and I ordered some furniture, nice TV, so I set that environment pretty nice so when soldiers and family comes in, then they can have a nice environment for talking to me. So that was the purpose. Nice car, nice furniture, nice room, everything. But when I retired, guess what happened? I had to leave home! So that's nature. That's work. So you think you have everything here, God bless you with good income, good career, good retirement, but think about that, that's not living. God gave you the authority and power to manage what God has given. When they give me the vehicle, parked right outside of my office, and whenever I need to go anywhere, I can use that, and my assistant was driving it, and it was pretty nice set up. But there were catch. One, official use only. I cannot commute with the vehicle, I cannot go to lunch with the vehicle, only for official affair that I was able to use. So, that catch. Then, when I left, I had to leave the vehicle. So when you think of you are a steward. What comes to your mind? God
gave you everything. Or Officer, you know only. What does it mean to you? God has blessed you with whatever you have. You can count your career, your look, even your intelligence, everything. But God expects us to use it for God. Official you. Means what? God put us in the business. And what is the business? Expanding His kingdom. And to serve Him, honor Him, praising Him. That is our official business. God entrusted all we have to our care. We need to be careful of what we do. So I am involved in stewardship. And then actually most of the time when we talk about stewardship, we talk about church fathers and church whatever. But that is a portion of it, but that's not all. And the second passage that we read, 1 Corinthians 4:2, is that now it is required that those who have been given a source must do what?
Faithful.
And yourself. Now, I want you to, are you proving yourself faithful? Are you using your whatever assets that you can manage for official use? Or private use, or personal use? That's something that we need to be careful. So, the first thing that I want to say is, the stewardship involves our responsibility. There are many ways that we can talk about the responsibility. The one thing that I want to say is, you are responsible for things to make it happen. You cannot, now when you are appointed as manager, you cannot delegate that thing to someone else. I mean, you can delegate whatever you're responsible to someone else, but you are the ultimate person who is responsible, right? I mean, literally, you can delegate all day long, but the thing comes back to you if that doesn't work out. And it is you that God you appointed. And it's you who need to manage. And it's you who need to make it happen. And as I said, what should we do? What is that area that we are in to expand His kingdom, to give Him honor and glory? And second point is, when we are becoming, for us to become a faithful steward, the care is total care, not portion of the care that we are given. I don't know how you are doing investment, right? Mutual fund or stock, whatever. Then when you buy $100 of mutual fund, for example, and the manager says, well, our manager 10% of it for you, but 90% of the stuff is mine, so that's how it works, right? How would you say to the person? That's not work, right? So we will find somebody else. So, that's like that. When we are given, God expects us to manage total thing that was given to us, not just portion of it. And sometimes we think that all giving 10% to God, that is enough. And some of us not even doing that. So, I mean, it's not a legal thing, but God wants us to work as His manager, His steward. And the concept of what we have is everything is His. And we are responsible to manage everything. Your career, your income, your children. But time is going into something like that. When it comes to our children, we cannot dedicate. I'm very dedicated to telling. But that means that God gave our children in our care that we can bring them up in a way that they can grow in God's eyes. But we don't have any right to claim our children. So, what do we do? And now that our children are here, and we can do what we can do, and at the end we can leave them to who? To God. That's the way that we need to operate. And this is not our job, how much we get and how long we do. Like yesterday we studied about the Genesis 5, right? Enoch lived how many years? 365 days, like the days of the year, 365 days. But doesn't really show years. Methuselah lived how long? 969 years. So but that was really up to him how long he will live us on earth. But as long as we are here, we don't need to compare with someone else. We don't need to compare how much they get, how many talents they have. But we need to be here to provide the total care of what was given to us. And the good stories, the faithful stories, their interests are in the benefit of who? The master. But a lot of times when we work, come on, think about that. What benefit? For whose benefit are you really working? And that's what we call the conflict of interest. God put us in the position to manage for His own benefit. But we want to work for ourselves. Well, 10% of money, maybe 5% of our time has been given to Him. And coming to service to give about 2 hours of our 24/7, I don't know how many hours in a week, but whether that will be sufficient? Not really. Thank you. What is the fourth step? Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whether that is your work, military, study, the whole purpose of what we live, the reason for our existence should be what? Eventually we are becoming His story. The conflict of interest. King Saul in the Old Testament was a good man. He was a very humble man when he was appointed as a king. But what got him was do everything of Amalekites. What did he do? He went again and he brought good animals and some people there. And I rejected because he was forbidden. But there was some gain from the plunders. So sport, our sole interest should be in the benefit of the master. Then at the end, to account. We will be called to account. So the principle of the accountability. We all know the parable of the talent, right? Three people were called to be given 5 talents. It's not much. 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And at the end, what happened? If you work for your benefit, right? Okay, you make 5 out of 5, so you keep 5, just give me back the 5 that I gave you, right? But that was not enough. This is for the master, right? But to be fair to you, you keep 5 because you made that I would get my 5. It didn't work that. Make a profit for whatever change may be, it's all you. God told someone to have 5. God told someone to have 2. And the one who has 2, what did he do? He made what? 2 more, and God took all, the master took all of them. But for someone who had 1 talent, what did he do? He kept it. So he really managed the talent. But our job is to manage the affairs with that 1 talent. Think about that. So sometimes we think that if we can manage what God has given, we will be good. No. God wants us to be more fruitful with what God has given. So thank you. care of our body is good, right? We want to do a healthy life, live healthy life with lifestyle and education and everything, right? But if that is the sole purpose, we are missing the target. Why are you doing? Why do you maintain your body strong to serve more, right? So the person who has one habit is that, okay, I got this gift, so I'll keep it. But then what did the master say to him? You wicked lazy servant. Then the one not lose the value of the talent that was given to him. But that was not the answer. We manage not the asset or whatever we are giving. We manage to increase. We expand this kingdom with what has given. Only when we have worked and given to them and acknowledge that everything we receive and we increase are God's, the Master's. That's only when we can hear from the Master, well done, you have faithful servant. You have been faithfully a duty. I will put you in charge of many. And again said, you are not the Master. You are not the Master of your own body, not even your own self. Our body, our intelligence, our strength, everything is given for us to use as tool. We need to look at it. So you cannot get away from 10% thing. Not even 10% time or money. But know that everything you have, that you can give to God. So He can use it for glory and for His kingdom. So as a sport, let's think like a sport. Let's act like a sport, and let's live like a sport, and everything like a sport. So let's give God an honor as a faithful man to sport. We can praise God for the ability that we have, that know that all those are to honor Him. Heavenly, not for them, but heavenly. Right? So, Father God, we thank you.